We just got back, five of us from a district conference, and in the past, I would always just stay up half the night and prepare, and I thought, I'm going to be kind to myself. And I have really competent, wonderful people that can break open the Word and minister life to us. Aren't you happy about that? And so, we don't get enough of this, guys, so let's go ahead and open the Word.
Okay. Here we go. Let's start with prayer. What do you say? Amen. All right. We're going to start with actually two prayers. We'll go with this one first, and then I'll tell you about the next one. Lord, we need you. And we thank you, Lord, that you know it better than we do. And so today we just invite you to be the Lord. We invite you to be the God that created the heavens and the earth. You give us everything we have. You are in charge. And so, Lord, we thank you for being a great, big, awesome, wonderful, incredible God. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew. Okay, so we are in a battle, the battle of our lives. And it's a little tricky because you can't see it happening. So anyway, we're in a battle of our lives, and we can't see it because it's a spiritual battle. It happens in a place we don't see, but it's real. It's more real than everything you see going on. And so the way we win is through the Spirit. And the message today is going to have a huge impact on your life. This is going to be the best message you've ever heard. Yeah, and the amazing part of it is not because of me at all. So it's not prideful. It's just, it's the way the Lord works. I mean, he's so amazing and he loves you guys so much. And he's filled me with the confidence to tell you that. And you know, it's embarrassing a little bit because you think it had something to do with me, but it absolutely does not. And you're going to find out more about that in the Word as we go through the Word today together, because it could be you. Yeah, really, it could. It's just that easy. So let's pray together. I'm going to lead you in a prayer because it's going to be kind of warfare prayer about inviting the Lord to come by the power of the Holy Spirit and do a work in us, so that we can receive the word he has for us today. Are we all in? All right, I'll start off and follow with me, okay? Lord Jesus, we invite you today to work in us by the power of your Holy Spirit to open every door we need open to receive your word in a life-changing way. Amen. Hallelujah. That was pretty easy. We've been going through this God series, and we've been talking about the God of breakthrough, the God who redeems, the God who reveals, the God who resurrects. Today we're talking about the friend, the God your friend. I thought we'd start in John. John 15 is going to be one of the scriptures we use a lot today, but I wanted to just go in John 15, 13. It's in red. I don't know if it is in your Bible, but in my Bible, it's red. That's Jesus' words. And Jesus says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. So Jesus is saying, you're his friend, and he throws in a little bit of check there. You're my friends if. Don't you love the ifs? How about a big if here for Jesus? Whoop, whoop. You're my friends if you do whatever I command you. So in my brain, I was immediately disqualified. Boom. If I do whatever you command me, okay, let's see if we can pull that. I mean, Pastor just asked us not to go in the sanctuary, and I'm like, ooh, that's going to be a tough one. You know, it doesn't seem that tough, but I don't know. I just, you know, there's several months involved. There's a time span and, you know, the weight of that requirement. Ooh. And so, you know, I didn't want to commit. We'll see. It's not to say it won't happen. It could very well happen, too. I mean, it could happen. That could probably happen. But again, let's just not jump in there. And you know what? It's not that I'm alone, okay? Paul had the same thing going for him. And we're going to start in Romans. We're going to go back to John. So if you have a finger in your Bible where you just looked at John real quick, just keep that one in there as you flip to Romans. So we're going to start here in Romans 7 and see what Paul had to say here in Romans. Romans 7, verse 7. And so Paul's, he's talking about the law, and he compares it to a husband and wife situation, and how do you get away from it? There's just no way to get away from it. And so in 7 he says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law." What? "I would not have known sin except for the law. I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, 'You shall not covet.'" Okay, is anybody relating? Okay. "But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. And I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and just and good. 13. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do." Okay, let's pause there for a minute. Paul's getting his head around what is really happening. And the points of the message we're going to run through is we're going to go from the introduction to salvation to revelation, a relationship, I mean. So the stages, we're encountering stages. I was thinking about when I first encountered Jesus in a way that I couldn't deny him anymore. I had this concept in my brain about who he was and what his requirements were for me, and I was convinced I couldn't pull that off, so I didn't want anything to do with him. And someone started praying for me, and I found out the truth about who Jesus Christ was, and I made this decision to accept him for who he said he was, that my Savior, that his sacrifice meant something to me now. It was this gift of salvation to me. I was cleansed and set apart now in the kingdom. And you'd think, hey, what? We got it. I've got the plan. I'm saved. I'm in the kingdom. But unfortunately, this whole sin thing started messing with me, and I couldn't separate myself. I couldn't see myself the way the Lord showed me. So we see Paul with this same wrestling of, what's going on with me? I believe what Jesus said was true, and I'm part of the kingdom now. I'm he's my Savior. I'm saved. I'm a believer. Why am I struggling? Why is this so hard? In fact, I wouldn't even know what it was to covet if it wasn't for this commandment that said, "Thou shalt not covet." And suddenly, I want it all. I want everything. I want what you have, and I want what you have. I want what everybody's got. I want it all. It's horrible. And I think, oh, how can I be this horrible? What is wrong with me? Wait. This is not even me. This is not me. It's not you. It can't be you. Because the Bible says the truth about you. The truth about you is what Jesus said. He's made you righteous and holy. He's made you a friend. This requirement that we first read in John is like the commandment. It suddenly makes you realize, oh no, I can't pull that off. I am chuck loaded with sin. There is no good in me. But wait. Paul goes on to say that the sin is not me now. So we know then the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. When Adam fell, we all took a nosedive, right? For what I'm doing, I do not understand. And then in 16, if then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it's no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. You got that? It's no longer you that does it. There's something going on the inside. There's something happening that you can't see. There's a spiritual war going on. And we're going to get to the way we win it. It's through relationship. We're going through the steps here from introduction, where I first met him, to salvation. Because it took a little adjustment. The Lord took a little time with me. He created this curiosity in me because of the great love that he has. The Bible talks about drawing us with gentle cords. Suddenly I was interested. This is so odd. I wasn't even thinking about him before. I wasn't considering him at all. I was living my life. Living the dream, they say. Ugh. Yeah, the dream's a real struggle. And then suddenly I was curious about the kingdom. This is a curious thing. And I began to have encounters with people that knew a lot more about the kingdom than I did. And suddenly, I found the opening and the invitation for me to become saved, become the king's kid, to step out of the world system into the kingdom system. And it was the beginning of a relationship. And so, everything in the kingdom happens in the spirit, and it's all based on relationship with Jesus Christ. And as Paul was saying, at first, it seems like you're disqualified at every level. And so if you're feeling disqualified as a kid in the kingdom, you're on the right road, brother. You're on the right road. Because we all have that same feeling because of the warfare. The enemy would love nothing better than for you to feel disqualified and live out your life like someone that barely made it. Oh, I don't know. I just... Because if the enemy is able to convince you that this sin defines you, your sin, the sin you're struggling with. We're taking off the gloves now, do you notice? Yeah. We just got personal. It's the sin I'm struggling with. It's the sin that's got you feeling defeated. The sin that makes you feel disqualified in the kingdom has to be dealt with. And that's why Jesus came. He didn't come because you had the power to overcome it. All you needed was invited to. He didn't come because there was some way you could pull it off on your own. He came because there was no other way. Apart from Jesus Christ, there is no way into the kingdom. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. There's no other way. So believing that and getting saved, you have to hang on to that truth. Because once you become saved, once you step across that to the kingdom, then the enemy catches your attention. He catches attention of you. Suddenly he's interested in you. He wants you defeated. He wants you convinced that the sin that has defined your life, and it's not a surprise. Oh, Ray, you're such a bad boy. All your life you're raised with a standard. This is good and this is bad. You behave like this, you're good. You behave like this, you're bad. It's just how the world works. If you work hard at work, you're good. If you're a slacker at work, you're bad. If you, you know, whatever it is, you grow up, you know, you're either good or bad. You're good or bad. Your actions define you. And now suddenly you're in the kingdom where Jesus Christ's work in your heart defines you. Whoa. Holy smokes. Aren't you glad we prayed? Because this is a spiritual truth that you can't wrap your head around. The work Jesus Christ did in you defines you. None of your life defines you. Nothing in your life defines you. No behavior defines you. I'm preaching the gospel this morning, and it doesn't define me. I went to prepare a message, and I needed help. You get nothing. If I came up here and gave you everything Ray had, you'd go home thinking, gosh, I feel hungry. But I went to the vine as a branch, and fruit's coming. And because of that promise, I could tell you earlier that the message today is going to change your life. Because it's a work in the Spirit, and the Lord's doing the work. It's not something you have to wrap your head around. It's something you invite Him to do. And that's what Paul is going on to say here. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present, well, I got that with me, but how? Oh, it's in 18. If you want to underline how, I get that, okay? How to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it's no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. You got the will? Remember what Pastor said during the worship? The will and the doing, the willing and the doing that the Lord gives you. You don't even have to pull off the will. Guys, I'm telling you, He's provided everything for you. Remember me talking about the suddenly I was curious? Suddenly you were curious? Suddenly you're curious about the kingdom, the will and the do. His good pleasure is to give you everything you need and to keep you in a place where you can trust Him for stuff. You need to know that you're qualified. You don't have to hide. Lord, I really would like you to do this for me. You promised it in your word. I really would rather you didn't look at me. I'm a little embarrassed about the sin in my life, but I would really need you. I mean, I really, really need you. But I don't know if I can believe you because I'm so disqualified. Gosh, there's a ton of sin in my life. Do you see it? If you can't trust Him to do it for you, you don't put your faith in Him. So there's a faith thing that's going on here, and how are you going to believe Him for anything if you believe that the sin in your life disqualified you from everything? Hallelujah. Oh, wretched man that I am. Paul gets it. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Hallelujah. So we're stuck. How are we going to get unstuck? Where's the how? How to perform what is good I do not find. You guys ready for some how-to? Good, because we're closing in here. The how is through relationship. Because there's no muscle to do it. There's no, like, gosh, that's a horrible sin. I'm embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed by this sin, I'm going to quit it altogether. I'm going to get it. I don't want anybody to catch me at it. I'm so embarrassed by it, I'm going to stop. Good luck with that. I'm going to get in a program, and I'm going to be defined. I'm going to define myself by that sin, and then I'll stop. When I let that be my title, when I let that sin be my title, then I'll stop. Because people will look it down on me because that's my title. You know him? That'll make me stop. The only power to stop is in relationship with Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's good news, but wait a minute. I really like it too, but here's the deal. If I'm ashamed of my sin, I'm not going to get that close. I remember when I first, this is a great story. My wife comes to me in high school and she says, "Hey, it's a St. Hawkins Day. You want to come with me?" So she has no idea. She has no idea that I can remember being in grade school. I was in like 7th or 8th grade. It must have been 8th grade. And I'm standing at the middle school before school with my friends outside before we had to go to the homeroom thing. And I look up and I see this beautiful girl. And I say, "Hey, what's going on there? And I joined the chess club. Yeah, I joined the chess club because I saw this girl in the window. And now she's coming up to me to see if she'd like, if I'd like to go to the Sadie Hawkins dance.
Yeah. I was a little bit embarrassed because, you know, I thought you knew me. And so I wasn't going to ask you, but since you asked, yeah, I'll go. I'll go.
And it's the same way with the kingdom. If you think, oh, Jesus, oh, gosh, you're just so amazing, I don't want to get too close. Because, you know, for you to reject me would be crushing. If you said, oh, Ray, gosh, come on, brother. I'll tell you what, Ray, why don't you take a month? Just take a month, okay? And quit that. Just quit it for a month. You know what? Does that seem like a challenge, Ray? I'll tell you what. I'm for you, Ray. Why don't you take 2 weeks and just quit? Could you just quit that? And then come and we'll talk. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I can't stop it. And Paul couldn't stop it. I mean, it's not going to happen. The only thing that's going to stop that sin in your life is relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way you're going to start the real deal relationship is when you believe that He's not looking at your sin anymore. When you let His power separate your definition of who you are from what you do. And there's a little bit more. You're going to have to let your definition of others be separated from what they do. You're going to need some relationship to pull that off. Huh? Come on. Because there is in your heart a little more grace for you than there is for others. That's how it works. You're human, okay? You're human. That's how it works. I mean, seriously, there's a little more space for grace in me, you know, because the Lord understands I needed a bunch, okay? And you guys were a little better off to start. You know, whatever the excuse you make in your head, but here's the word in John 15. I promised you we'd get back here. Here's the key. Even this relationship thing, that the requirement for relationship is the key for everything. So when we invite the Lord to come, and we, oh, Lord, I need you to come. I need you to come and give me what I need. I need the help even to separate myself from this definition that I've used for me my whole life. That's going to take some power. And this is what Jesus has for us here in John 15. We started a little way back in John. Let's jump all the way to John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, He prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. What? What? Yeah, you're already clean. It's done. It's done. Quit thinking about yourself any other way. You're clean. You're holy. You're righteous. You're upstanding. You're relatable. Abide in me. Hello? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Woo! You want to be okay with you? Abide in me. You want to be okay with where you live? Abide in me. You want to be okay with the fight you're fighting? Abide in me. You want okay with the sin you're living in? Abide in me. You don't want to be defined by it? Abide in me. You want life to be transformed? Abide in me. Abide in me. Abide in me. Abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. And this is the how-to. This is the how-to. How many of you have a phone? I've got a Bible, but there's a phone on it. I love this Bible. I could even read it and people think I'm cool. Like, look at him. That old guy knows what a phone's for. He's probably texting somebody. He's so relatable. He must have friends everywhere. They're not saying, dude, what's he up to? Is he reading his Bible? Today's scripture verse is in Galatians. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, completely liberating us from, therefore, keep standing firm. And you push a button and you can read the whole chapter. What? Wait a minute. It's even better than that. Did you hear that? No excuse? It's even better than that. It's even better than that. If I didn't have an excuse, even if I had an excuse, it's better than that. It's not even about your excuses. It's about the Lord's passion for you individually. It's about the reality that if you just choose to say, Lord, that sounds beautiful. That sounds so beautiful. I would love to have a relationship like that guy or that guy or that guy. There's no pecking order, okay? There is no pecking order. There's nobody. You think, oh, he must have it together. He's preaching the gospel. This is a great message. This is changing my life. It's not about that. It's not about that. It's just, what are you doing? What are you doing, Lord? Hey, Jesus, what are you doing? What's up? What's up? Because there's a secret place in your heart that no one else touches. No one else can get. It's precious and it's holy. And he communicates with you there. And suddenly, you get this idea about something from his word. The power of this word is that it's alive. And it's real. And it speaks to you. Just like today, we find out that there's this struggle going on with sin. And everybody's got it. You're not unique in that. There's this struggle going on because I think I'm this. I think I'm an alcoholic. That's not true. That's not true. It cannot be true. I'm a king's kid. I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I'm no longer defined by sin. And I'm going to be free completely from that sin as I draw close to him. And I'm going to draw close to him because it's fascinating. I mentioned when Lisa came and invited me to this dance, suddenly I realized I want to draw close to her. I want to spend some time with this girl. She is so pretty. And that was the first thing. But then I found out more. Bonus, the girl's brilliant. She's got this amazing, caring heart. She is so incredible. And the more I find out about her, the more in love I am. She's so amazing. You can't even know because you haven't spent the time with her I have. You can believe it because I told you, and it's true. But you don't know that you know it. But if you spend a little time with her, and isn't that curious that once you spend a little time, you want to spend a little more time. And once you've spent a little more time, oh, dog, this is amazing. I don't ever want to be apart. And if you say, hey, Lord, I don't ever want to be apart. He's like, I got that. It's that easy. It's all by faith. There's a battle going on to distract you. And it's not you. And it's not your Savior. But he's the victory. He's the answer. And he's got it from the start to the finish, all the way to relationship. And that's where we are. It's by the vine and the branches. It's recognizing that the fruit, everything good about my life is from this connection I have with Jesus Christ. He introduced me to his dad. And his dad said, listen, come on into my inner chamber. Come on in here to my intimate place. Come with me. I'm Jesus' dad, and now I'm your dad, and I want to father you. I want to embrace you. I want you to know that I've got you. I've got your future. Tomorrow, I've already been there. I checked it out for you. I checked it out for you, and I made a few adjustments. I love you. You know, my kingdom's done, okay? Heaven, I got that. It's done. It's all done. My focus is on you, and I'm thinking about you. I love that you want to hang out with me more. And the worship, is that amazing? It opens this fabulous door. And it doesn't have to be organized like we had this morning, but this was awesome. But you do that in your home. You can do that all alone. Oh, Lord, you're so cool. Make today what you want it to be. come and invade me. Come and invade my circumstances. Come and invade my interactions. Come and invade the way I think about others. Lord, give me another window to look out of that has a grace pane so that I can see people separate from their sin and just love them like you do. Let me see the potential like you see them, Lord. Let me be as gracious to them as I want you to be to me. In Jesus' name, I just love you because I know you have the power for that. And we're worshiping, and suddenly things begin to go on. And so this morning, I wanted this transaction to happen in the spirit realm because I knew the Lord did. He directed me to the scriptures because I had no idea what we'd preach on. I wasn't worried about it. Friday's my preparation day. My grandson started wobbling like he had a peg leg, so we took him to the doctor, and the doctor sent him to the x-ray, and so the whole day was consumed with busyness, and the whole time I'm like, oh Lord, I wonder what we're going to preach on. And you know, in the midst of all that busyness, this message came. Yeah, I didn't deserve it, but you did. So let's stand together. Let's stand. Lord, we need you. We need you to do a work in the Spirit. And we don't know how to pull it off. We know we can't. And we thank you for the word today that gives us permission to separate us from our sins and invite you to be our Savior. Lord, we want a deeper relationship with you. We want to abide in new ways. We want to invite you to come and be the branch that supplies what we need to live. We want you to come and transform the way we think. We want you to come and be the Lord. Lord, it seems like it's been easy for us to see you as the God that created everything and harder to see you as the God that's making our life safe and changing the way we think and changing who we are and in love with us. So Lord, we invite you to break through the lies of the enemy. Break through the lies that keep us thinking of ourselves as separate from you or ashamed of who we are. Lord, we want you to come and invade us. Come and invade our lives. Come and invade the way we think. Come and be our God in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, we just repent. We ask you to forgive us. Forgive us for thinking of ourselves the same way we thought of ourselves before you invaded our lives.
Yes.
Forgive us for thinking of ourselves as broken and unacceptable and sinners. Lord, we invite you to come now and save us afresh today. Save us from our opinion of ourselves. Come and save us from the way we think of ourselves, Lord. Come and deliver us from the way we think about others. Let us be filled with the same grace as we look around us, Lord, at the pillars of your kingdom. As we look around us, Lord, at the people that you have chosen and set apart. Lord, we trust you in them and we trust you in us. And we invite you to do this now by the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Wow. Thank you, Jesus. This is one of those messages you just got to get a copy of and go over it a few times. Let's take the hand of the person next to you. Let's lift them before the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, listen, guys, as you're holding your hands, let me just go sit, tell you, hallelujah, Jesus does not have a sin problem with your life. He's already dealt with it all. Just receive your new identity in Christ and thanking for it and praising for it, because this word is a liberating word. Lord, as we hold the hand of the person next to us, I ask that you would cause there to come the feeling and the sense of the grip that you have on each heart, the grip that you have on our life. Like a little kid when walking along, that if we stumble, you got your hand on us. You're pulling us along. You're saying you're going to take care of us. You're going to help us. And Lord, I praise you for the anointing on this word. Drive it in. Let it continually work. I pray, Father, for the meditation of the word, the furthering capacity of your freedom through the life of this word. We claim it in the name of Jesus. Amen, guys. You're dismissed. Love on each other, guys.